welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This is the final episode of 2020, a year which has been like no other. I'm Colin Byles, and with me, hopefully not hitting the Christmas eggnog too early, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at the games against Partick Thistle and Montrose, and we'll be hearing from Jim McAnally, Simon Ferry and Kyle Bailey. Martin, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Getting into the festive spirit. Not the spirits, but the spirit, I should say. Christmas is finally here again. It's not getting a Christmas like we'd normally have, but it's Christmas nonetheless.
Yeah, as you touched on just at the very top there, it's a year like no other. And hopefully 2021's a lot better, but I think everyone this year will deserve an extra glass of something strong to celebrate Christmas.
And we'll be obviously socially distant when we're having these glasses. Fitbit self, in general, is still struggling a little bit. There has been word of fans getting back in again, but all these tier systems that's now in Scotland, it looks even less likely that we'll be getting back in before the end of the season.
Yeah, we briefly touched on this about September, October time, and I wasn't that confident before Christmas that we would get back into games. Just my personal opinion, I don't think anybody will be back into the grounds until the earliest August, being next season. And even then, again, just my opinion, I think we seem to be going backwards ever so slightly. You know, we're like a year on and we're back into Tier 4, you know, strong restrictions. So I think football fans getting back into stadiums would be well down the list, unfortunately.
Yeah, so there's much to kind of ponder for next year, next calendar year, but hopefully things will be progressing. December as a whole, though, for Peterhead is just finished up with a game against Montrose. All in all, December has been pretty good. Finished the last three games with 7 points out of those three games, so that's particularly good. Especially as one of them was away from home at Partick Thistle, which was the first game we're going to talk about on Saturday. I don't think anybody would have really given us much of a chance. Even any hardened Peterhead fan would have been thinking a draw would have been a decent result.
Yeah, before 3 o'clock on Saturday, I think if someone had said to you, you'd get a point down in Firhill, they'd have probably bitten your hand off it. I don't know what the odds were for Peterhead to win it. As you mentioned last week, I think there'd been quite long odds for us to come away with a win and a clean sheet. But nonetheless, the guys did it and put in a really good shift.
It's a strange one, though, because although we haven't played Partick Thistle very often in league football, we've won every time we've gone down there, which is just one of those strange kind of things. But even with that kind of record, the result itself is probably one that nobody really expected. But the game, it was really a hard-fought kind of one, because if you've seen the game or watched any of the highlights, Partick Thistle had a lot of the ball, but didn't really create too much.
Yeah, Jim touched on that in his interview afterwards. It was a really hard slog. Partick Thistle, being a full-time team, as you said, they had a lot of the ball and worked Peterhead very hard. And I think that's credit to the team as well, because, you know, injuries are still mounting up. It's a theme of Peterhead's season. And to come away with a good performance, a very hard-fought 3 points, I think where it was even more encouraging than the result itself.
Gary Fraser was available after his red card was downgraded to a yellow. We should praise Ross Davidson for his part in that, the East Fife player, because he had emailed, I think he must have emailed the SFA or the panel or whoever it was, and said there was no contact, and it certainly didn't deserve to be a red. So in times where we kind of think there's a lot of gamesmanship within football, it's nice to see somebody like that coming out and supporting an opposite player.
Absolutely. It would have been so easy for Ross just to think they lost the game and, you know, he wasn't really going to get involved. Thankfully, he did, and for the right reason. And as you said, it's credit where credit is due. He's made contact with the SFA and the relevant people, and thankfully, I think the right decision. I'm not even sure it should have been a yellow card either, but, you know, it's been downgraded. Gary was available for the following game. And, yeah, credit to Ross for getting involved and helping get that downgraded to yellow.
And the footage that Peter had sent in as well, it clearly showed there was nothing much in it at all. It was just two guys squaring up. So as we said the last time, in the last episode, if you're going to book one, surely you book the other as well. Or if you send off one, you send them both off. It's still perplexing as to how you managed to send one off and not the other.
Yeah, you can understand if the action for both players was the same, but as you mentioned, one was a red, one was a yellow, and thankfully the footage is showing that it wasn't deemed to be a red card. I think I said at the time it was a linesman that was over-fussy and getting involved in something that wasn't really there anyway. But thankfully all parties have seen sense, and it's not, and I'll praise the SFA as well, but you know, they've seen a bit of logic, a bit of common sense has prevailed here, and thankfully it was a downgraded to yellow, as I say.
Are you sure you haven't hit the eggnog just early, or is this just maybe a new leaf? The new year, new me kind of thing kicking in already, maybe that's what it is.
We'll talk about a refereeing performance later on.
Well, I was about to say, it'll change pretty quickly. So, Fraser was obviously available. Ferry came back from his injury. Isaac Lane was back as well. So at least two of them were back from their long-term injuries, which is good. But as we'll touch on later, the injuries are starting to pile back up again. But for the sort of opening periods of the game, as we kind of, as we probably thought, Park Thistle had a lot of the ball, dominated the possession, without really sort of troubling Josh Ray too much. And I guess if there had been fans there, there might have been a little bit of frustration with the way that they were playing and not creating too much.
Yeah, I think we've seen that against East Fife. They had a lot of the ball in the second half and went down to 10 men, but they didn't really do much to test Josh in goal. And I think that was the same part of Thistle in the early part of the game as well. They had a lot of the ball, but didn't really do anything. I think that's good organisation for the defence and the midfield. I think we were guilty last season of getting opened up too much and too early, especially in the bigger, so-called bigger teams away from home. You know, conceding that early goal and then the sort of floodgates opened. So it's maybe just a slight learning curve over the last couple of weeks and months at the start of this season that we seem to be a bit more resilient defensively. The mistakes are less now than what I think they were when the season was curtailed back in March. So definite signs of improvement. And I think that sort of limited Partick Thistle with their chances. And it was really pleasing.
And of course, just after that, Scott Brown got his second goal in as many games. I guess you could call it a typical midfielder's goal, a later on into the box, and was a fairly easy finish.
Yeah, as you said, it's a midfielder's goal, running from deep into the box. I think it was good play by Boyd as well. He cut out the pass to allow it to go into the path of Brown. Again, that's a theme as well, that there seems to be this a better intent to win the ball back when we don't have it. I think, again, going back to last year, we would maybe sit off too much and allow teams to come onto us. Again, that's maybe something that Jim's trying to change as the season's going on. We're seeing more on the front foot, trying to get the ball back. And then it was good to see Boyd and Brown linking up again.
I think we're starting to see the best of Boyd as well, not just in the game against Partick Thistle, but in spells against Montrose as well. He seems to be up for it a bit as well. I know we didn't see much of him because obviously because the season was ending early after he signed in January. But you know, there are signs there that he's starting to enjoy his football again.
We've seen glimpses of it the end of January, start of February when he did sign. There was certain periods of games that you thought, you know, we've got a real quality player here. And as you said, we're starting to see it more now. I think he's maybe settled in a bit more. I know a lot of things have changed in the time since he did come in January, but he seems settled. And that his link-up play, he brings other people into the game. I think it's a part of his game that maybe goes unnoticed by a lot of people. I think his movement off the ball, again, creates space. And I think overall his general play seems to be relaxing more and more as every game goes by and the confidence comes out in him.
And he's maybe playing in that slightly more advanced role as well, because he's quite often in the games that he did play last season, he was maybe playing more as a... It's almost like a central midfielder or an out-and-out sort of left-winger or a right-winger, whereas this time he's more advanced. He's maybe playing just off a striker, or he's playing left of a striker or on the right of a striker in a three, and seems to be benefiting from that slightly.
I don't think Steven, in my opinion, is the type of player to play midfield. I do think it's either wide or being the man up front leading the line. I think that's where he's more suited to, where he's more comfortable. And I think you get a better performance out of him when he's either on the wings or up top rather than being in midfield.
So back to the Thistle game, I should say. I've been hitting the eggnog already as well. As the second half kind of progressed, actually it seemed to be that Peterhead were going to be the one that was going to trouble the scorers again. Thistle again really didn't have too much, but there was chances there for Cook and for Cameron again.
Yeah, they were out ball on Saturday. Thistle, they were getting a little bit frustrated as the game went on. They were trying to go more direct, so I played in more hands and were able to hit them on the break. And I do think if we'd gone 2-0 up, you know, it would have sealed. I know we got all 3 points, but it would have made it more comfortable in the end rather than what it was. And I don't think it would have been begrudged because, you know, as you said earlier on, we put in a dogged display and it was one that were worthy of getting 3 points. But I think the frustration from Thistle sort of played in our hands where we could have maybe got a second on the break.
The only really chance they had was a header from Graham, I think it was. It was headed off the line for Simon Ferry towards the end of the game. But again, it just... There's that determination really now, which we maybe didn't see for last season, because we went to places like that last season, we were getting beat 3-4 nil, and being convincingly beaten.
I think now it certainly appears that last season we're going to places to not try and get beat, but it seems now that we're going down with the intention of, you know, if we can get a goal, we can win the game. I think there's more belief in the defence and the goalkeeper compared to last season. I do think last season that if we conceded one, the heads dropped. But this year there is that belief that, you know, we've got good guys up front that will score his goals. If we can keep it tight at the back and not concede, you're guaranteed to get something out of the game.
So after we spoke to Captain Scott Brown after the 4-4 game, after that loss, he said that the next three games we needed to win at least two of them, and those three games were against Falkirk, East Fife and Partick Thistle. And we've done that. We've gotten the two wins that he thought we needed, and that obviously catapulted us up the league slightly, up into sixth. So we then faced Montrose last night on Tuesday night, again against a team who are bang in form. They've done incredibly well. They beat Dumbarton 4-0 on Saturday. They're no pushovers. They've already beaten us earlier on in the league already, so it was never going to be an easy game. None of these games in the league are, but this one was going to be a particularly difficult one because they're a big physical side.
Yeah, they've got that physical players, but they've also got quick, pacey players. It's almost like one of the worst teams that you could come up against because, as I've said, they're physical plus they've got the pace. The fact that they were one of the informed teams in Scotland as well, it was always going to be a tough game. But it was one that, on the back of the East Fife and the fact that we held out for the win and then beating Partick Thistle away from home, it was probably the right sort of time to play them because we had, you know, the proper belief that we could actually get 3 points in it.
The game started off really badly in terms of the injuries. Again, Gary Fraser went down very early on. I think we were in about the 8th or 9th minute. We're still kind of waiting on an update on that. But we were there, obviously. We could hear his screams of anguish, even from the opposite end of the pitch, and it was a pretty bad one.
Yeah, I think you can normally tell how bad it is by the players' reactions, and as soon as he went down, you heard the anguish from Gary, and then you could immediately tell by his teammates, and not only that, the Montrose players as well. They realised the serious nature, and I think just to maximise it as well, both physios were on, you know, one for Peterhead and one for Montrose, so it really wasn't good, and we can only but wish Gary our best wishes.
Yeah, the early signs that we got last night was metatarsal injury. I think it was what were said. So those ones are obviously quite tricky. They can be at least a year out. So we'll wait and see. It may be one of those that's it's not as bad as they maybe first think. So we'll wait and see what's happening with that. So again, in terms of the game, we were expecting it to be quite end to end. I think it was for large periods of the first half. But again, maybe both teams guilty of not working the goalkeepers enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Too often, either team had a chance but didn't really, you know, get a shot on target, or it was well blocked and good defensive play by both teams to cancel out the attack. I think the Montrose's best chances came down our left and right sides, the wing back areas. They looked quite dangerous, but I don't think at any point we really felt that troubled. I think the defence and Josh sort of coped very well. On the flip side, Lyle Cameron, I think, was our best player in the first half. But other than a cross-come shot from him midway in the first half, I don't think we really did much either. So both teams like to attack, but in terms of shots on target, neither keeper had that much to do in the game.
It was almost like both sides wanted that extra pass or that extra bit of skill when a shot would have been easier to do, or even just a simple pass out wide and get a cross in first time and things like that. They just didn't seem to do that. The one time that a player did do that and get the ball and try and beat his man and get into the box was when Isaac Lane went through and was taken down for the penalty, the first penalty.
Yeah, it was a good ball wide into the channel, and Isaac's using his pace, he's got to get past Stevens. And as you said, he's managed to beat his man, he's cut inside and he's been taken down for the penalty. And it was probably the first or second time that we'd really shown that directness. As you said, every other time it had been that extra pass or gone backwards. You know, say Bailey's on the overlap, but we've gone back inside or gone back to Gary McKenzie. So it's a wee bit labour, but as you said, Lane's beaten his man, we've got the penalty. And I think at that point in the game, we deserve to go a goal up.
There was no arguments really with the penalty, from anybody. Even the Montrose players didn't really have much of an argument against it.
No, I think Stevens realised he'd been well beaten. He's maybe tried to commit the foul just on the edge of the box, but Isaac's used his pace. He's gone in the box and he's been taken down. And as you said, nobody had really any complaints about it.
And the big man managed to dust himself off, got to his feet, and smashed it into the height of the roof of the net for his first league goal and his third one overall. So it's good for him to score because he hasn't scored since the Brechin game back in October.
Yeah, he's had it tough the last 6 to 8 weeks with injuries and then maybe coming back. And, you know, he played against these five, but it wasn't really the right sort of time to come into the game when we're down to 10 men. Couldn't really show his skill or anything that he's got. So I think that goal will do him the world of good. You know, he's got that confidence from it. So hopefully we'll see over the next couple of weeks with injuries again piling up for us. He'll probably be used quite regularly. So it's fine that he's got a goal to kickstart his season again.
But we did see, although he is back, he played 50 odd minutes against Partick Thistle. I think overall he played about 50, 60 minutes against Montrose. So he is still working his way back to full fitness and towards the end of his time against Montrose. He did look as though he was really struggling. He looked a little bit labelled.
Yeah, I think as the game went on against Montrose, there was quite a big gap between our striker and our midfield, which probably didn't help. He's trying to cover a lot of ground. He's trying to cover basically the back four of Montrose and try and prevent them from playing diagonal balls that caused us a lot of problems last night. I think maybe just, again, he's just coming back from injury. He said he's played, you know, the best part of 55, 60 minutes in both games. So it's difficult to judge where he's at with his fitness. But I think the right move was taking Derek Lyle on for the last half hour and just try and, you know, use Derek's physique to try and get us up the park a wee bit more.
And shortly after that, should we have had a second penalty?
Yeah, I think we should have. I think anywhere else on the pitch, it is a free kick. So I don't see why it's not a penalty. There's been some questionable decisions by referees in the last couple of weeks that we've seen. And this one's certainly up there. You know, the linesman's looking across as well. We heard the dugout asking the linesman the question, it's not a penalty. The linesman thought it was, but yet his colleague in the middle of the park didn't think it was. So I guess it's all about the angles, the angle that we've seen it from. I think it was a stonewall penalty. As I said, if it's in the middle of the park, it's a free kick, so I don't see why it's not a foul in the box.
It's somebody had spoken to me the last time about a decision and about a referee. I think it was a Gary Fraser one. If it's a linesman who's saying to the referee, right, I think that's a red, ultimately it's the referee who makes a decision to go with it. But he's obviously, in that occasion, taken the advice of his linesman to give the red, because he wouldn't have seen that. And this occasion, when you see what's happened there with Boyd, if the linesman has said it is a penalty, but the referee has said, well, no, I don't think it is, I know maybe it's a matter of opinion, but if he's ultimately the one who's going to make the decision, what's the point of having his assistant there to assist him, if you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you said, the red card the other week, it was solely on the linesman's advice that he decided to send him off. And this referee, don't know whether they've spoken, whether they're mic'd up, I can't remember last night if they were or not. It just seems weird that you'd have officials to try and help you out in the middle of the park, but yet not speak to them on certain decisions. The linesman, he thought it was a penalty, the referee didn't. But again, I go back to it, it's a free kick all day long, so why is it not a penalty when it's in the box? It's strange.
Another one as well, I mentioned to you as well, Lyle Cameron was obviously causing the Montrose defence quite a lot of problems, especially Steve's at left back. At one point, right in front of us, in fact, he got past his man, and Steve's went to actually swipe his legs. And I think, fortunately for him, he'd missed. Now, I asked you the question during commentary, if he'd made connection with him, would it be worthy of a red? Have you had any more thoughts on that, or do you still stand by? I think it would maybe just a yellow.
Yeah, I still stand by my thinking of it would just be a yellow. I know Lyle's going at pace. I think sometimes it makes him look worse than what it is. I think if there'd been contact, again, it depends, determine basically how much of contact there would have been on Lyle Cameron for me. I think if he maybe just clipped him a yellow, if he's gone, you know, full throttle and really properly going through him, then yeah, there's certainly a question for a red card. I guess it depends on how strong he's gone in. But I think based on the challenge last night, I would still think it would be a yellow card.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was trying to do. I think it's just as well that Cameron had the pace to get away from him.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in the commentary last night. You said that, thankfully for him, he made contact. I think it would have given the referee and the linesman a very big decision to make quite early in the game as well, had he made contact. So I think, thankfully for all parties on this occasion, that there wasn't that much contact. But he did go back and book him because he certainly knew there was the intent there to try and take him down.
The other big talking point was in the second half, Montrose's penalty this time. Again, last night we looked at it, we didn't see much in it. I don't think anybody really in the stadium who was there saw much in it either. Have you looked at it again? Do you see anything different to suggest it was a penalty?
No, I don't think it was a penalty. I think if you're given a a foul for that, then every corner that comes into the box now will be a penalty. Rossi's, you know, he's, what, 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, and he's sort of gone down. It's a good job he doesn't play at Bournemouth anymore, because sometimes with the strong wind that we get, he struggles to stay on his feet. He's gone down like a sack of tatties. Looks like he's been shot. It's poor, but at the same time, Jason's got his arms round about him, and he gives the referee a very easy decision, because he's seen McLean gone down, his arms are round about him. It's one of them, if you didn't hear arms round about, which is something we've spoken of before about Jason Brown, he's very touch tight with his man. We've seen that with them two competing down at Links Park the other month. It's a good battle to watch, but I think that you've given the referee an easy option, but again, I still think it's not a penalty.
There's not really a thing I said to you last night after the game that Rusty knows what he's doing. He's going up against Jason Brown, a guy he knows very well. So he just needs to almost wind Jason up to the point that he is going to be doing something silly like that. And he, to be fair, most of the game, McLean was looking for something like that, whether it was in the box or out the box. He was on the floor more than anybody else, I think.
Yeah, I think we've seen by Jason's reaction at full time towards the officials, far from pleased, shall we say. But again, that's just part of Russell McLean getting to him. I don't think the way that Jason went about shouting at the linesman was correct. I mentioned it when Troy's players on the bench down at Links Park, the way they were acting towards the officials, I didn't like that then. And I think Jason was right the way he went about it. But again, he allowed, you know, it's his arms is round about, he's given the referee a decision to make, but as you said, McLean was looking to wind him up the whole game, and I think it just maybe came to a head, and you know, he's managed to get the penalty for Montrose.
Still a learning curve for Jason, but hopefully next time we play him again, we're going to see the same. But overall, I guess it was a decent point in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, if someone had said to you before Saturday's game you'd take 4 points from the next two games, I think you'd be delighted. And I think the performance in both games as well, you know, it's certainly give us cautious optimism, I would say, going into 2021, that we've sort of ended 2020 in a good wee run.
Yeah, we'll hear from the manager, I had to say, just shortly after the Montrose game.
Jim, is that a point gained, or do you think it's...
I think it's a decent point, bearing in mind how the game went. When everything was going against us in the second half, and they scored, you felt as though there was a lot of momentum with them at the time. But I did think we rallied a wee bit. I thought a draw was probably a fair result. They had obviously more possession, but I do think the first half we could have killed the game off and picked them off again. And we were unlucky, naughty. But I thought they were good to watch in the first half, Boyd and Lyle. Entertaining, attacking, you know, taking people on, and we just couldn't keep it going, you know, and they think Saturday took its toll.
It was a strange game because it ended 1-1, but both keepers didn't really have a save. Mark, is that, from your kind of perspective, is that kind of frustrating that you didn't make the keeper work enough?
Well, we should have in the first half, the positions we were in, you know, where we kind of you know, we'd got into positions where they dribbled into 1v1 or they could have rolled somebody in, but we just didn't want the goalie enough. But the pleasing thing for me is that when we gave up a lot of possession in the second half, that we never looked like we were going to lose a goal. And, you know, if they don't get the penalty, you know, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, we're losing Gary and putting Simon back into centre-half. There's a lot of reorganisation, and I just thought we were gutsy.
You got the first penalty, then. Do you think you should have gotten a second one?
Yeah, it's a stonewall penalty to me.
Is it one of those that if it was outside the box, it would have been a free kick?
I said that to the linesman, and he actually agreed with me.
So why do you think?
Penalty's a penalty, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially with the penalty they get, you know what I mean? It's like for a throw in, and it's amazing how many penalties we've actually lost this year. You know, in situations like that, well, they're iffy, do you know what I mean? But I do think we might have lost that game last season.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty pleasing, and, you know, we're sitting in a decent position.
Was it a matter of frustrating as well that he got the conceded the penalty and got the yellow card, whereas same one they didn't get a yellow card for theirs.
Well, for me, theirs is a potential red card because he's stopping a goal scoring opportunity. I really don't know where the rules are in football. Don't get me wrong, I think he's a decent referee. He's got a good manner about him and all that, you know. And he's, you know, but this goes against you, you know.
How frustrating is it for you as a manager, that consistency? As you said, one of them was a penalty and a yellow card, yet we're through on goal. And, you know, he gives a penalty, but caution. I thought it's frustrating for you.
It's frustrating. You would just like to see a bit of consistency. There will be some sort of reason, but I just don't understand it. But anyway, it was a tough night against. I mean, they're a big strong team, and I did think that in the first half we played Rudenham really well at times, and that's what happens when we play Montrose sometimes. You know they can overpower us sometimes, but we always seem to do well against them and score goals and stuff like that. But we've lost out defensively because we've made mistakes. So I thought we were okay defensively tonight.
The positive to take for it is full-time part of this whole team. And then we've also thought that with a good point against Montrose, 4 points, Saints would have taken that before the weekend.
Aye, well, I mean, the last three games have been pretty good days, you know. So it sets the boys up. You know, now they can get a wee bit of rest. We can get them trained before the Cove game. And you know, just prepare for that, and hopefully they will all be fresher. You know,
how's Gary Fraser? He's sending in a lot of pain.
We're a bit worried about Gary. Could be serious. Hopefully it's no. I mean, I think he's going to get done. And he said that he's actually fractured that bone in his knee before, so I think he's going to go and get an X-ray first. But that was quite. Usually they know. And especially if they've had an injury like that, they know, you know. So, so
it just seems to be the how things are going this season with the injuries. It's just one off the other.
Aye. Well, I mean, Isaac goes on and you know, he says, "I've got a half time." He says, "I think I've only got another 10 minutes in me." You know, he's feeling as though he's not very strong and stuff like that. And then, so that's what I mean. You're just. Switching about all the time, but you know, we just got on with it, and I did think we showed a decent bit of spirit, and it's good to watch the. I mean, we've not made three midgets in the park at the end up, and you know, they all get stuck in, and you know, they've done well, so you know.
So now it's a wee break, time to relax and enjoy the festivities.
Aye. I mean, as I say, we've had three games where. We've took points at them, and the players can go and enjoy it now. I mean, I don't know why other teams haven't played tonight.
We thought everybody else would have done the same.
To be fair, it was Montrose that approached us, and we agreed to do it. But at least the boys can enjoy their Christmas now, and say we'll get them back in training. Problem we've got is that the place where we train will be shut down with a. We're locked in, but we'll overcome that. Yeah. We'll overcome it.
Okay, well, thanks so much. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your New Year.
Same to you.
Jim, obviously, a bit frustrated with the refereeing and the yellow cards and no yellow cards. Overall, what did you think of the refereeing performance?
I thought the vast majority of the game he did okay. I think there was a 10-15 minute spell where he did get quite a few things wrong, not just for Peterhead, from Montrose as well. And I think he endeared himself with any friends when he left Longmore last night. But yeah, I can see why Jim and, you know, other managers get frustrated, because one week what's deemed a yellow card is not the next. Again, it just goes back to the lack of consistency within the game.
Yeah, and he mentioned as well that Simon Ferry was switched back into a centre-half role again because of the injury, or we think it's an injury to Gary McKenzie. He's played there a couple of times already this season. It's not a position you want to see him play in, but he seems to adapt it quite well.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned before, he's, in our opinion, he's better in midfield. I think once you take Simon out of there, you lose your... he dictates the tempo for us and how we're going to play. But to lose somebody like Gary's experience as well, because I think we've done really well since he's come into the squad, back into the lineup. So, again, you're putting Simon maybe potentially back into defence because Gary's going to be out for, you know, a long period of time, we suspect. So it's unfortunate that injuries are just creeping in again.
Yeah, we managed to catch up with Simon after the game as well, so we'll hear what he had said.
Thoughts on the game? I actually thought, for your standards, we started quite slow. Thought we should have started a bit better. And then after about 10-15 minutes, we kind of got a wee bit of a hold of the game and started to actually pass the ball. The way that we can, we got Lyle on the ball a bit more, we got Boydie on the ball a bit more. And we created chances. I thought we always looked dangerous on the counter-attack. I think we should have a definite penalty when Dylan pushes Boydie in the box. And yeah, but maybe make a bit better at the few opportunities we had on the edge of the ball. It was kind of last wee pass or the last cross wasn't quite there. But first half, quite happy going into half time. And then the second half, I thought Montrose had a lot of possession. I don't really have Josh having a save to make. And then obviously we get the penalty. They get the penalty. Which, looking back now, was never a penalty, so I thought the ref was good. I probably can't put that in, but I didn't think the ref had the best of games. I didn't get a penalty, but, you know, we were saying in the dressing room last season we probably would have folded and lost a game like that. I actually thought them scoring gave us a wee lift, you know, because we couldn't get over half before they scored. Then, after they scored, we started to get on the ball a bit more, counter-attack them, like, with a few half chances kind of in and about their box, which we should maybe do better with again. But probably on the course of the full game and chances created, I'd probably say that a draw was a fair result. Good. Which isn't a bad thing because Montrose and the pushovers, we know that they're a well-organised team, they're a big team. They've got guys like Dylan who are vastly experienced. And they've been beating teams quite comfortably, you know, they beat Dumbarton 3 or 4 at the weekend. So we knew it wasn't going to be an easy game. And the pitch doesn't help. I think the way we like to play is to get the ball done. And the pitch was a bit, bit heavy last night, so I think it's that kind of suit Montrose that wee bit there.
Yeah, was it frustrating that you didn't make their keeper work anymore last night as well?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, you know, I think with Lyle and Boydie, we got in some great positions and there was some great build-up play to get to the box, but inevitably that means nothing unless you can get an end product. And I think that, again, that's something that we need to get better at. I think when we get to the build-up play, get to the edge of the box is quite good, but then it needs to be that last wee bit. But that'll come because Lyle and Boydie have got good qualities and they've done great this year, so... Again, it's injuries. You think the players we've got missing, guys like Ben, you know, you're more likely to put the ball in the back box when Ben's playing there because you know you'll get an end there. So, when you miss players in that sort of area of the pitch, and Isaac's no fit, as you can see. So, for me, it's the most important position in football, a striker. And you seen that last night with Russell, you know. Anytime they were in danger, they just kicked the ball up to Russell, and Russell done really well to get a hold of it, and they were more than intent. It lets them put a lot more balls in the box because they know they've got a guy at 6'3" in the box, and that's where their penalty comes from. You know, we didn't have that, so it's a big advantage when you've got a striker in for them, whereas we're struggling to even get one on the pitch. So I think that's probably where the lack of chances and shots comes from.
You said there as well, and your manager said as well, that's probably a game that you would have lost last season. What's the difference, you think, to this season?
Just believing in ourselves. I think last year we were not quite happy, but that's the wrong words, but we kind of accepted getting defeat, whereas this year it was a big thing that we said that, listen, we can't just be getting beat. It needs to be, if we're not going to win games, we need to draw them. And then I think we've done that enough last year. I thought there was games where we should have drawn and we lost. And just picking up points instead of losing games, you know, it just builds momentum. You know, last night if that had been a defeat, we'd been on a downer, but, you know, look at it as 2 wins and a draw at your last 3 games against teams up the top of the league, so... just a shift in mentality, really, that we believe that we should be up there instead of thinking that we should be done fighting relegation. You know, we believe that we are just as good as teams like Partick Thistle and Montrose, so the boys are going to be improving that now, so maybe just that another year of getting to know each other and the players getting to know what we expect of them as coaches, and I think they're taking that on board.
Yeah, that's your second game back after your long absence. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Are you fit?
I didn't expect to play 2 games in 3 days, I'll tell you that, but No, I feel great. I think Saturday against Partick Thistle was the most I've ran since the start of the season. I think Augie Dovey said there was a heart rate monitor. I hadn't done much, to be honest, for 2 or 3 weeks. So, first 10 minutes against Partick Thistle, I actually couldn't have breathed for the first 10 minutes. But then I got my second wind and felt good. But then, and then after that, the last thing you need is a 3.5 hour journey up on a Tuesday night and then a boggy, heavy pitch. But as I say, it's I've not played for 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm more than happy to try and get through it to help the team. Obviously, the boys have done great well. I've not been there, so it's up to me to go and play through a wee bit of, not pain, but a bit of uncomfort in terms of fitness-wise and on the legs to try and help them as well.
We also caught up with defender Kyle Bailey after the game as well.
Hard-fought point, Dick,
yeah.
And
just like I said, it's just a hard fought. The boys done well. I don't think we deserve to concede a penalty. So if I'm honest with you, look back at it a few times and didn't seem like a penalty at all. It was a bit harsh, but like I said, the boys fought all the way to the end and we managed to get something out of it. So it's positive for us.
Was it a frustrating game in terms of the attacking end? You didn't really make the keeper work too much.
I mean, I think we had a few chances to actually get the game. Over the line and actually get a win, but what can you do? Just keep doing the same things. We didn't give up, we didn't give in at all. We actually continued that until towards the end, so I think it's a positive for the boys to actually look on, considering the result that we got the other day as well. So this is a massive point for us.
Was it important to follow up part of Thistle's win on Saturday with a good performance?
I would say so, yeah. Just to give us that extra boost, I would say, and just make sure that we continue in the right vein of form.
How would you assess your own performance tonight? Because I thought you had one of your better games today. Can I keep them quite quiet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to push on from all the other games that I've been involved in. Obviously, it's been a slow start for me so far, but I just try to learn as much as I can week in, week out, and just try and improve as much as I can week in, week out as well. So gradually, I can see the form coming, so I'm just trying to push on from that and keep going. Yeah.
And how are you settling in Peterhead, and how are you enjoying life up in the North East?
I'm actually loving it, yeah. It's very nice. It's good to be back home, yeah, I would say. It's very, very good to be back home. It's been away for a long time, so it's nice to be able to go and see the family when I need to, and it's not too far for anyone to come and visit me, so yeah, I'm actually enjoying it, and the football side of things as well, I'm enjoying it. So, yeah.
Do you notice a difference in the standard?
Yeah, massive difference. I was speaking to my friend about this the other day, in fact, as well, because he was asking me what the standard is like, and I was just like, it's so much more physical, like, it's a bit more, you have to be rougher.
yeah.
Whereas I felt like in Norway, the ball was played a bit more, so it wasn't really physical, it was much more about technical, but... Mm-hmm. I'm used to the physical side of things, obviously growing up in London, and it was just a matter of time before I actually adapted to getting back to the physical side of stuff. So, but yeah, it is.
Is that a side of the game you enjoy then, the physical aspect?
As much as I love the technical side of things, I actually do love the physical side of things as well. So.
And what was the wind and the weather that we've had up here? Is that will you ever get used to that, do you think?
I'm actually not too sure if I will. No, hopefully I do. It's not been too bad of recent. I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 games that I had beforehand, and the wind was just crazy. Like the ball was kicked in and just literally standing there. I was like, whoa, what the hell? But I'm getting used to it.
So after hearing from the two players there, Simon Ferry and Kyle Bailey, I think the thing that comes across is there's a positivity within the camp. And there's a want or a need for them to be fighting higher up the table.
Yeah, I think everybody that was there last season have admitted that they underachieved. I think the season was curtailed towards the end, but they all agreed that what we had played wasn't good enough. And they're looking to do better this season, and we've given ourselves a very good platform. The fact that it's a shorter season as well was probably more impetus on starting well, and I think as we come into back end of the year, I think we have. And you know, just touching on Simon there, he thought we had a slow start, and it was a game that last season would have probably lost. And I think, you know, if they're disappointed about how we started, but we haven't played that badly, then that's an encouraging sign as well. They're not happy just to sit back and think, well, we've got a point, we played okay. That they're looking again to push on and play even better.
Mentioning Simon Ferry, he's on the front cover of a magazine this month, Stonewaller magazine. If you haven't seen it, check it out. You can order your copy on stonewallermag.co.uk. Stonewaller Mag is a Scottish football magazine that takes a slightly different look at the Scottish game. There are interviews there with a few players, a few from League One as well, which is good to see, because you don't always see sort of Championship, League One and League Two sides getting a bit of a spotlight. So it's good for somebody to take that on board.
Yeah, it's good to see there's magazines and also a lot more podcasts going about now. I think for lower league clubs, they didn't get the same coverage down the leagues as what the Premiership clubs do. So it's good to see that people out there are willing to try different things to give clubs and players exposure at this level.
And Kyle Bailey, we heard from there as well. We mentioned in the audio there as well, we thought that was one of his better games. He's starting to find his feet a little bit. He maybe struggled just a little in the beginning, maybe just adjusting to life in Scotland and Scottish football in general.
Yeah, I think the first couple of weeks was a wee bit Jekyll and Hyde. I think the injuries we had as well, the rotation probably didn't help him settle in. I thought he's one of his poorer games was Montrose down at Lynx Park. He had a really bad 10 minutes, everything sort of went against him and conceded the penalty as well. And then last night I thought was one of his better performances against Montrose. It's weird the way it sort of works out in that sort of sense. But no, last night was a very good composed performance from Kyle.
I think it was interesting that the majority of Montrose's play would have been coming down that left-hand side. Quite often the diagonals was fired from Dillon across to that left-hand side or Bailey's side of the pitch. They've obviously looked at what happened the last time and thought, well, that's a weaker point of the Peterhead team. But yeah, he did well. He coped with pretty much everything that was thrown at him on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think there was one diagonal ball that he went to go and header, he's misjudged it and he's allowed them in. But other than that, I think everything else he did very well. And it was a very, very calm and assured performance from Kyle, and certainly give him the confidence in the next couple of weeks.
So that's it for 2020 in terms of football. It's been a strange old year. If we'd sat here a year ago thinking how this year was going to go, we would have laughed it off. But in terms of your overall reflections of this last 12 months, what would you say?
In terms of football or just in general?
Just in general, life or football as well, if you want.
I certainly hope 2021 is going to be vast improved than what 2020 has. It's been a difficult year for everyone, and I'm sure most people will be affected with the disease is going about in some way or another, or know someone who's sadly no longer with us. It's been a tough year. Thankfully, we still get to see the football, and it's sort of our escape. We still get to watch the guys live. We're very thankful for that. So here's hoping that 2021 is on the upward curve, and we can get back to some sort of normality, dare we say it, as the year progresses.
I mean, the year started from a Peterhead standpoint. It started off pretty bad because Rory McAllister decided he was upping and leaving and went to Cove. So from that point on, it just went pretty much downhill from there in terms of being a Peterhead fan. But it was just a last season as a whole, I think, was a poor one. And as we've said already, I think this season they are actively trying to rectify that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely an improvement. I think it was Simon that touched on it in his interview as well. These are teams that were beaten that are putting in good performances against it, teams you expect to be challenging at the top of the table. So yeah, but as we mentioned before, it's a division where anybody can beat anybody. You can't just, as we proved the other week, you can't just turn up to a game and expect to win. It just simply won't happen. But there does seem to be a more steel and more grit in the team, and they're not just willing to accept you know, a draw. They're actively looking to do better, as you say, and get the win.
And as you said, we're lucky enough to get into the football, but we're doing the commentary and things like that. But on a personal point of view, doing this on a weekly basis throughout the pandemic, speaking to some of the players at the time who are still there, and some of the ex-pros as well, it helped to get through it, give us some kind of normality, just breaking up the monotony of which was the first lockdown, as we head towards lockdown two, as it were. So yeah, it's doing things like that, doing this with you every week, as I said, has been a great relief. And we'll obviously still do it. We're still doing it socially distant, but you know, hopefully at some point we might be able to get back to doing it as we were previously.
Yeah, it certainly changed from this time last year. And as you said, when lockdown first came, the chance to speak to some of the players was massive relief in terms of it takes your mind off everything. You were able to go and do some research, and you know, you stumble upon things that you either never knew or you could go and do further research on about a player. And then before we knew it, we had a couple more lined up, and it sort of just took off from there. So thankfully, we've been able to keep busy during the lockdown, and then the restart of the football again. It's certainly something that to focus your mind and take your mind off of what has been a very difficult year.
I considered doing or putting together a sort of highlights package of the last 12 months, but I kind of stopped myself because midway through, most of it would have been you just slagging off on Budge for the reconstruction thing. So I kind of shelved that. But highlights.
I can't go over that topic again if you wish for a recap.
Probably next season again if Hertha bring it up. Highlights of the year. Any particular ones you want to pick out?
I think generally the player interviews, I think you get to know the player in a more personal level rather than just the player that you see on the park. And I think a prime example would probably be Scott Brown. He's a very quiet character on the pitch. We've said before he leads by example with his performance. But he when we spoke to him, you know, earlier on in the year, very quiet man, but you know, he's quite funny as well. He's got a couple of lines that are pretty funny when he says, just comes out with it. So I think getting to know the players would sort of be the highlight overall as a general comment.
There hasn't been much in the way of highlights, to be honest, with this year, but yeah, finding one or two highlights as you said is the player interviews and things, and yeah, just being able to get back into the stadium again has been a highlight. It's you always take it for granted as such, and I know there's a lot of guys who still haven't been back in yet, and it might be a while before they get back in again, but I'm sure they'll be itching to get back as much as what we were when we were told we couldn't get in.
Yeah, I think the last game that we had was back in February against Forfar in what must be one of the coldest nights I think I've ever had at Balmoor. But never again will I take that for granted, because you realise how quickly it can get taken away from you and be told, you know what, you're not allowed back in here for the next 8-9 months. Getting into the games is brilliant. It's very different. A lot of stricter protocols naturally to go through to get in and whatnot. But it's certainly not football as we know it. But hopefully as next year progresses, we can sort of hopefully get fans back into the stadium at some point.
Yep, so we are going to take a wee break for the festive period. We're going to be back in the new year, running with the 5th, I think it is, Tuesday the 5th. So we'll take in the Cove game. Hopefully that's another win to kick off the new season, the new year. And away game to Cove. First time in the league since the Highland League day, so it'll be a bit interesting one to start off the new year.
Yeah, I think it will be. And Cove's form as well has really dipped from the start of the season, and I was just sort of picked up. So I think it'll be a really interesting clash on the second.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We'll itching to get to that one. Obviously, a few players we know are there. Some already left. But that's another story for another day. We'll end it there with that, on that bombshell, as they say. That's it for this episode and this year for the Blue Team Podcast. My thanks to Martin for joining me tonight and throughout this year. And our thanks go to you all for listening. Thank you for your support in this past year. We've really appreciated it. We'll be back in the new year. So until then, stay safe, have a happy Christmas and a wonderful new year. Cheers.